Please take your Bible. It's 11, where we'll be reading for our sermon, verses 17 to 34, under the theme of faith at the Lord's Supper. So this is a passage we will read today, even as we come. But as the text for our sermon this morning, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 to 34. This is the word of the Lord, written to you as people. Please pay careful and special attention to it. Verse 17. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worst. For the worse. For first, come together and impart. For there must be those who are approved may be ready. Therefore, when you come, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have house? Or do you despise the church of God? What shall I do? For I have also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in the same manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we will be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brother, to eat. Wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come and the rest I will set in order when I come." Let us pray. Father God, thank you for what it teaches us. Even here, Lord, as we see the Corinthian church being corrected by the Apostle Paul, your messenger, we pray, Father, that these words of correction would be words of correction for us as well, and words of instruction in how your table, how we are to be coming by faith and communing with you and with one another. Father, we still are pleading that you would be working in our hearts. Working in our hearts, Lord, to hear your word preached, read, and applied to our life. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us all with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear, understand, and obey you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in which the Lord gives us to come to Him, the Lord's Supper, worship, and it can be observed by believers and unbelievers alike. The Lord's Supper, like all acts of worship that we present to God, that we come to God and commune with Him in, can be observed externally by believers and externally by unbelievers. Without faith. That is not what we are called to do here, and that is not what Paul is talking about. Come to the Lord in faith. Believers and unbelievers do worship. Believers and unbelievers at times do come to the Lord's table in a way that is unworthy, not coming by faith, thinking that it may do them some kind of good. But that is not what the Lord calls us to. And so it is at the Lord's Supper, when we come, we must come by faith in Him and His Word. It's God required of Him for us. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 to 34, the Apostle teaches us many things about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to go through those things. But it is a corrective passage. It is, you're doing this wrong. Now let me tell you how you're supposed to do this. For I received this from the Lord. And in verse 18, Paul is doing this, who he's talking to. He identifies them as the local church there in Corinth, those who have been called out into the body. Again, he says this, for church. And that word church means called out ones. It was a Greek word that could be used for the legislative body, their senate body, their political body, but it means called out from one place or one situation and called to do or called to be in another situation. And that is what the church is. We have been called out and into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the church, which is the Lord's body. And so that gives us the first and foremost thing is that we come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together as the church by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we don't have unbelievers with us at times. We often do. And that's good. We want them here. We want them to hear the gospel as it is preached. But as we worship and as we come to the Lord's table, it is for the body of Christ, and it is those whom God will hear, and God will speak to, and God will minister to, those who come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this passage, Paul gives us four main areas of faith that the Holy Spirit calls us to practice in coming to, particularly, the Lord's Supper. And I want us to see something here this morning, not something novel or new, but something true, something that sometimes often gets overlooked in our preparation for the Lord's Supper and even in our coming to the Lord's Supper. And so as we go through these four areas of faith, I hope that you will catch that we are to come to the Lord's Supper in the same way that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in every aspect of what I'm getting ready to talk to you about. These four things are this. We come to the Lord's Supper communing with one another. Communing with one another by faith. It's not just coming to the Lord's Supper and communing with Jesus. That's the Corinthian church. They were living in such a way that was not in communion with one another. But then they would come as a pretend and say, oh yeah, we're all here together, we're all communing with one another, and we're going to commune with the Lord Himself. And so the first thing that we must do by faith is, in coming to the Lord's Supper, commune with one another and understand what that is. Secondly, we come to death by faith. That is something that we are very familiar with when we come to the Lord's Supper. We likely hear that over and over again, that we are remembering His death, but it is also something we must do by faith. Thirdly, we come to His death and His return by faith. Without saying a word, those of you who sit here at the Lord's table, and those of you when you take the Lord's Supper in past times, without saying a word, you are proclaiming Jesus Christ died and was raised and is coming again. We must do that by faith. And lastly, we come to the Lord's Supper examining ourselves by faith. So let us look at the first one. We come communing with one another by faith, and we see this in verses 17 to 22. And let me just make a note right here. In this he says, I do not praise you. So he's alerting us. He's about end of at verse 22. He says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? And so we can see the first verse and the last verse of this section is like our last. And saying, this is what I'm doing, I'm correcting you. And all message we think, okay, he's correcting, so all of us and given us instruction about the Lord's Supper. But what does he do? He comes back to verse 35 and he goes right back to saying, therefore, based on what I have, do these things. And so we need to see the sense of this whole passage. 3 to 32 are not a parenthesis about what Paul is talking about. He's not taking a break from correcting them. He's not taking a break from saying, you need to know what communion is in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 23 to 32 are because of verses 17 to 22. They are related. They are not a parenthesis. And he does not ask, now let me get back to what I was talking about in the first place. We see that because of the word therefore. He's saying, I'm going to correct you, I'm going to instruct you, and I'm going to wrap this up by reminding you what I said in the first place. And so keep that in mind as we look at this. And so as we come to the Lord's Supper, we must be communing with one another by faith. And Paul starts out here in verse 17, as we have read, I do not praise you. I do not praise you. Those are quite some striking words to hear from the apostle of God who is sent to minister to these people, has been writing to them, ministering to them in person and away. And he hears about what's going on in the church and he says, about these things I do not praise you. And so the Corinthian church received many corrections from Paul on different things, and the way that they observed the Lord's Supper is one of them. For they were in communion with Jesus and with one another, but treating each other very badly. And in reality, Paul says, there's not this shared fellowship that is supposed to be revealed and manifested at the Lord's table. You're actually not loving, who do not care. So he's saying, what? Shall I say you're doing well? He says, no way. He says here, I do not praise you. Because they were not in communion with one another, but yet coming to the Lord's table as if they were. As if they were. Now we do not know exactly all that Paul is referring to about leaving others behind. But the one thing that's underneath all of this is a lack of consideration for each other. It does appear that there were those who might, when they came together to worship the Lord and to observe the Lord's Supper, extra food for another meal. Some people think it was part of what they called their love feast, that they would get together and share these meals. But in doing this, apart from this, some were bringing much and eating, and some didn't bring any because they couldn't possibly, didn't have anything to eat, and they weren't sharing because they did not consider each other in love. And that's what's at the foundation of such behavior such as this. It is a lack of believers present when the church came together. When the church came together to worship God, there was a lack of real communion. You see, all that we do in the Lord's Supper here as we come to the Lord's table later should be a manifestation of what goes on before the Lord's Supper in your life and mine, with one another, with the body of Christ. And so Paul says, I do not praise you for how you're acting, how you're not considering one another in love. And so it is with us. We cannot sit here and say, as we read this scripture, see it being explained and say, well, that's not us, that was them. Now, the Word of God is written to us so that we might examine ourselves and given to us so that we might come to the table in a worthy manner. So let us not say in our heart and minds, well, those Corinthians, they were just terrible. I'm glad that's not us. We must take this passage and apply it to us and use it to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, am I in right brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not just people who are called out from one group of lost people, as it is for us, and left to ourselves. We are called out of darkness and sin and death and lostness, and we are called into the body of Christ through Jesus Christ. We are called into the church. And that church is not just a loosely associated group of people who meet for worship. We are people who have true fellowship and true communion together, common union together through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we are to be living like it. Prior to ever coming to this table, we are to be in communion with one another, because that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has taken us out of darkness and sin and death, languishing in our own individual sin and death, and placed us into the body. And Paul will go on to talk about that in 1 Corinthians 12. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, he'll go on to talk about what love is. And the Corinthian church and the Grace Reformed Church and every church in the body of Christ needs to know these things and needs not to think, well, I'm glad that's not us, but to think rather, is that us, and examine ourselves according to what Paul is talking about. Because a church that is in communion with one another, a church that should be coming to the Lord's table in communion together and with the Lord, should be a church that considers others highly, a church that cares for others, and a church that loves one another. An all-out aggressive love. In the way that we treat one another, in the way that we speak to one another, in the way that we care for one another's needs. At the heart of what was going on here in the Corinthian church was self-love, and not a love of communion with one another. And for this, Paul says, I do not praise you. They were not coming by faith. They were not coming believing that the Lord Jesus Christ loved them as much as he loved them. They were not coming in consideration of their brothers and sisters, that they too were in the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ cares for one another. That's not just believing by faith, that is living by faith, based on what the Bible says. And so as they came together, they were not united in practice. In verses 18 and 19, it tells us there were divisions among them. He says, I believe it. There are factions among you. It could be that on the outside they looked like they were communing together, coming together, but in reality, and yet they were coming to the Lord's table and saying, we're together. We're together. We come to commune with the Lord Jesus Christ because we are together, communion with one another. One of the things that the Lord's Supper, in coming to a table, one of the things it symbolizes is this body of Christ who are in communion with one another. And so to not be in communion with one another, to not be living and acting by faith, that's pretending when we come to the Lord's table. To not be in right fellowship with one another, or even at times coming with unconfessed sin towards one another, that is not coming by faith. So we should ask, as a church, are we in communion with other believers outside even of this local church? Are we considering one another more highly than ourselves? Because they weren't doing that there in Corinth. And this is what the correction is all about. They weren't living by faith. They weren't coming to the Lord's Supper by faith. They were evidencing this in the way that they lived. and when they gather together as a church, as the called out ones. And this is really one of the things in this passage that we are to be examining ourselves about. We use this verse, examine yourselves, and we take it and write ourselves for sin in our lives, sin that needs to be repented of. But so often, examination from verses 17 to 22. And this is the essence of this passage. Communion is not only with the Lord, but with one another. You see, just the one, some kind of system where we said, we're going to give communion, but we're going to give it to you and have you take it individually, like some churches do. There is no sitting at a table. There is no even sitting together in the congregation. Some go so far as for the priest or the pastor to administer one piece of bread and one drink to each person. There is no symbolism of the common union that we have here as represented by the scriptural words of the table, a meal. How would it be in your own home if you invited a table and some people came and you said, yes, you're invited, wait until we get done, and we'll serve you individually. You know what you'd be saying to that person? You're not in communion with us who are here. The Lord's table is for His church, for those who are communing together. And these words here, discerning the Lord's body in verse 29, are connected to verses 17 to 22. Those who came in the way that they were coming in verses 17 to 22 were not discerning the Lord's body, and it wasn't just the body of Jesus Christ physically, but the body of the church, the local church. They were not recognizing what the Lord had done for the church and in the church and forming the church. They were just saying, I'm going ahead and I don't care if you eat or not with this meal. And we might be quick to say that, well, I'm glad we operate that way. But it's not so much what they did as what was underlying what they did. The principle what they were living by. And it was, I don't care about you. I don't recognize you as being equal to me in the body of Christ. And so that's something that we need to examine ourselves. It's something that the Bible tells us here through the Apostle Paul that we are to be discerning the Lord's body, this body, along with the body of Christ. How do we look at the local body of believers? How do we look at the church? And we are to look at them through the eyes of faith, that each one who is in the church has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are to care for one another, commune with one another, and it should be this communion that exists long before we ever get to this communion table. So are we seeing the Lord's body as He sees it? Whether rich or poor, educated or uneducated, strong in the faith or weak in the faith, do we see those who are in the body of Christ as Jesus sees them? Do we love them as He loves them? And are we forgiving one another sacrificially as He has forgiven us? That's communion together. As we come to the Lord's table, should be a manifestation of what already exists in us. That meal they may have had before the Lord's Supper, leaving others behind in food and need, gave evidence there wasn't a real communion. There was division and factions. But we are called to all out love one another, to forgive and be forgiving. We are called to not leave others behind in whatever it is, whether it be our conversations, our relationship to them, from older to younger and younger to older, from different to different. And we're all different. We're all in different places. We're all in different stages of sanctification that the Lord is making us more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Whether it be in our greetings or our conversations, whatever it might be, we are to be in communion with one another. And we do that by faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ put this body together. Not only our local church, but all the Christians in the body of Christ. Well, our communion with one another is what Paul is calling for here in verses 17 to 22. And then he goes on to instruct and fill up in what we are called to remember by have with one another, and that is the Lord's death. 25. We come in his death by faith. But I want to remind you, Paul doesn't say, wait a minute, I want to talk about something else. In verse 23, he says, for. There is a connection to verses 17 to 22. Here's what I'm talking about, he says. Here's why this communion amongst you should be so strong and full of love. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so he says in verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. He's already gave them these instructions. They're not following them. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We are to remember by faith what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So as Paul finishes correcting them about through communion amongst each other, he now moves to reminding them of what they are to remember about Jesus, which is the basis for their communion amongst each other. In other words, Jesus is the reality of your communion. His dying on the cross, his shedding his blood, is the reason you've been placed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. Remember that. And I tell you, if you don't remember that, your communion will break down. Your communion amongst each other will break down if you do not remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. And you'll begin to think that I'm better, or I'm more important, or I don't have to all out love my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We are to remember his death, which is the basis for our communion with him and with each other. Don't forget that. As we come to the table of the Lord, we come believing that what Christ did then is still working today in our own hearts and lives. We come remembering the reason he died, to bring us into a covenant of life, of forgiveness. We come remembering that it was Jesus that died. Do this in remembrance of me. This was the day. That's what we're to remember. This was the death of the Creator. This was the death the Bible says. Remembering these things about Jesus by faith and believing them is the basis for our communion with one another and with Him. This was the death person for the lowest sinners. This is the death of one who died for his enemies, which we all once were. But now by faith in Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to one who died for those who hated him and hated his law. This is the one who died to call you out of the world and sin and darkness and death and call you into the body of Christ, the church, where you have life. In Jesus Christ, where you have communion with Him and with one another. Jesus said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And if I remember that, If I remember that he died to pay for my sins and your sins, then I know that we are equal at the foot of the cross in every way. And our love for one another will be equal. We'll not be pursuing our own self-interests, but pursuing the interests of others, just as Jesus did. And when we remember that and what he did, and we put it to practice in our communion with one another, we can come to this table with faith, knowing that we are truly in communion with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we come remembering his death by faith, we also come proclaiming his death by faith. And that's our third area of coming to the Lord's table by faith, proclaiming his death and his resurrection by faith. And we see this in verse 26. For as often as you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As I mentioned, when you come to the Lord's table, you are proclaiming or showing your faith in that sufficient death of Christ. Those who come to the Lord's table are to be those who have already made a profession of faith with their lips and with their hearts. That they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, and that he was raised from the dead. As you come to this table, you're proclaiming and renewing that same profession of faith. You're renewing that same profession of faith. But you're doing it without saying a word. You once professed it with your lips, believing in your heart. But now as you come to the Lord's table, you are proclaiming it by eating the bread and drinking of the cup and saying, "This I believe. This I believe." Renewing in your own mind and proclaiming in your own mind and renewing your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and also proclaiming it to others. And we keep doing this time after time after time until the Lord returns, because we believe that he has done this and he is coming back to take his people with him. That's what you're proclaiming. But you're really only proclaiming it if you are doing it by faith. By faith we come to the Lord's table, proclaiming we believe in these things now and forever. As I mentioned in the first part of this sermon, there are people who come to worship. There are people who, at the Lord's Supper, who do not believe. They're just going through the motions, or they're doing it because it's what's expected of them to do. But that's why we, as a church here, try to meet with people to hear their testimony of faith in Christ, so that no one comes to this table who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who does not renew his faith and proclaim his faith in the taking of the Lord's Supper. And so the Spirit of God calls us to check ourselves, to see if these things are true about us. He calls us to examine ourselves, and that's what we see next in verses 27 to 34. And this too must be done by faith, because it's being instructed to the church who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is that thing that underlies our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we see in verses 27 to 34 that we are to examine ourselves. And to examine yourself is to take things that we have already talked about here in the previous verses are true about. Are you in communion with the body of Christ? Is it your profession of faith that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in him in his death and his resurrection for the salvation of your soul? We're to check ourselves, not just assume it about us because we're here in this building, or we're here in a family that goes to church. The examination is important, and it is a warning for us as well of discipline that comes with it if you do not examine yourselves to see if you're coming in a worthy manner. You know why, brothers and sisters? It's very easy to come to the Lord's table just because we do it, and it's on this calendar, it's on the schedule. It's very easy to come with division and factions among us. And when the Apostle Paul says, I do not praise you, he comes speaking as a messenger of Jesus Christ who sent him. And so we must not think, well, these are just the words of Paul. No, they are the words that Jesus instructed Paul to give us. And so we must examine ourselves to see if we are coming in such a way that does people do come to the Lord's table for various reasons. The Apostle Paul, through the Lord Jesus Christ, seeks to call us to come for the right reasons. Some people come because everyone else is, and even some Christians come because if they don't come, it will stand out that something's wrong with them. And so they fear having that label attached to them rather than repenting of their sin, confessing it, whether it be to the Lord or to the people they've sinned against. They would rather come to the Lord's table than sit out and be identified as somebody who has an issue. Be better if you didn't come, if you have those issues. If there is division, if there are factions, if there's a lack of love towards one another, another believer, if you have confessed it as sin to the Lord and seek to turn away from it and fix it and repair it with that person, it'd be better that you don't come. But that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to come. And so he gives you these instructions and he gives you these warnings so that you will come. And we see this here in the scripture, even when we're told to examine ourselves. Verse 28, but let and so and drink of the cup. The reason for examination is so that you can come in true communion with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. The examination is not meant to prevent, but to bring you to the table in a worthy way. Not your worthiness, but the worthiness of Jesus Christ. And so we must come by faith, examining ourselves according to God's Word. And I know that in this church, we call for this a lot. We exhort you a lot to examine yourselves. But this morning, I want to remind you that this is connected to verses 17 to 22. Examine yourself according to these verses to see if you're having communion with one another. This is what the Lord is calling us to examine ourselves about. It's not a one another. And now I'm going to tell you what the Lord instructed me about how he died. You're to remember him and to examine yourselves. Examine yourself according to your communion with one another. Do you have? Are you in fellowship with one another? Are you loving one another? This is what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth. And this is what Paul and the Holy Spirit are saying to us at Grace Reformed Church. And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church worldwide. Come to the table by faith in communion with one another. Not pretended communion, not external communion, but true communion. Considering one another, loving one another, confessing your sins to one another, and forgiving one another. So where are we today, church? Is there communion amongst you? Then come. Have you examined yourself? Have you looked at yourself and say, am I in communion with my brothers and sisters? Am I in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that the status of my life? And if that's so, before you come to the table, then come to the table. Examine yourself so you can eat and drink. And we have been talking about that even last week and preparing you to do that. And I'm hopeful and been praying that the Lord would be working in your life so that And if it is true, if we truly do have communion with one another, then the Spirit says, come and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Commune with the body of Christ through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And this examination that Paul exhorts us to is not meant to keep you away, like I said. Not to keep you away, but to show you the way to the table. To show you the way. And that's what he's done here in 1 Corinthians 11. And so I say to you, come eat and drink by faith in the Lord Jesus, who loves you and gave himself for you. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, how we do thank you for your word and how it corrects us and instructs us and exhorts us. Oh, Lord, for our blessing. Not for our condemnation, but for our blessing. That we may not fall into the chastening hand of the Lord. That we might have examined ourselves in a worthy manner to see if we are coming in full communion with you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we know, like any other aspect of our Christian life, we are not perfect in this. And we ask, Lord, that you forgive us where we have failed. And as we sang, even in the Psalm 51, to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. O Lord, how we seek it. We ask, Lord, that you would give us that communion amongst each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. We come to that time in our service now where we prepare ourselves even more so to come to the Lord's table. And it is through this ministry of fencing, what we call fencing the Lord's table. And I always like to remind you and myself that during this fencing, we always talk about the gate in that fence. And so a fence is meant to do a couple things, to keep some people or something in and to keep some people or something out. And so this is what we do now. And really the fencing of the table is just a reminder of who should be coming to the Lord's table. And so the scriptural basis for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is found in the Gospels that Paul referred to here in 1 Corinthians 11. He uses these words as he delivered the instructions to the church. And so I want to read to you again verses 23 to 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, as these are the words that the Lord used to institute the Lord's Supper, saying, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given it, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so from this, we see that the Lord's Supper is an ordinance, a sacrament of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is to be observed by until he comes again in remembrance of him and his sacrifice and all that it represents. And so as we take of these physical elements, the bread and the wine, we are reminded by God of the sign and seal that he has given to us, that what he accomplished in Jesus Christ, he is reminding us that this bread and this wine represents that work. Jesus Christ, his body broken, his blood poured out for the remission of sins. So while we look at these elements and we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, we also need to understand that God put this together as a meal to represent to us that he is feeding us spiritually, nourishing us, strengthening us spiritually. And though while Jesus is not in the bread and the wine as physical presence, he is spiritually there doing his work in and amongst us. Christ himself is present by his Spirit in the supper to make it a true meal, a true means of grace to those who receive it by faith. Remembering the Lord's sacrifice. So because God loves us so dearly, he doesn't want us to come to the table in an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians 11:27 is a warning. As we read, therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Who is he speaking to? To the church. So it's possible we could do this. We could come like they did. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's what we're called to do. Judge yourself. Examine yourself. But when we are judged, if we don't judge ourselves and come repenting and seeking forgiveness, then we will be chastened by God who loves us, that we may not be condemned with the world. And so it is my duty as a gospel minister, it is the duty of the church to warn you that if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, don't come to this table. It is my duty to warn you that if you are a believer and you are at this time in your life living an ungodly, disobedient life and have not repented of that, you should not partake of the Lord's Supper. Lest you eat and drink condemnation or judgment to yourself, the Lord's disciplined hand. But the Lord's Supper is for repentant and believing sinners who are seeking with your brothers and sisters and with the Lord, come confessing Christ as your Savior. This table is for you. As I mentioned, this table, this warning that I'm giving you is not designed to keep the humble and contrite person away from the Lord's Supper. On the contrary, it's a means of grace offered to sustain us weak Christians. We who come to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ come as sinners whose only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. And so we come in a worthy manner if we recognize these things in ourselves, if we recognize that we are a Savior, if we discern that His body and all of us. And if we hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, giving thanks for His salvation, the Lord says to come to the table and come by faith. And if you are prepared to come this way, then we invite you to come. We invite you to come. If you have met with the elders and given that testimony of faith and that you're a member of a church elsewhere, we would invite you to come. If you haven't met with us, we invite you to observe from your seat. And still seeing and watching what the Lord is doing. And use this as a motivation to meet with us again or meet with us for the first time so that you might come to the Lord's Supper the next time. We seek to do that, to invite you to come. And so if you are prepared to come in this way, then hear the words of the Lord of His gracious invitation from John 6. Verses 48 to 51, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world. If that is your testimony, that you have eaten by faith the flesh of Jesus Christ,